welcome to a special crossover episode of the Metal Pit Podcast and Someone's in My Fruit Cellar Podcast. I am your host, Blake, and today we have an interview with actress Kimberly Crossman. Born in Auckland, New Zealand, Kimberly is a multi-talented actor, presenter, comedian, and producer whose career spans films, mainstream television, drama, hosting, and advocacy. She began dancing at the age of 3 and by her teens was already deep in the performance world, including cheerleading at a world competition level. Her first major break came as Sophie McKay on New Zealand's long-running soap opera Shortland Street, a role that put her firmly on the map. From there, she expanded into both New Zealand and U.S. television and movies. Beyond the screen, Kimberly is an author and advocate, serving as an ambassador for organizations like World Vision and the SPCA, and she hosts her own mental health podcast, Pretty Depressed. And the reason we're talking to her today is her work as Medina in the 2015 New Zealand horror comedy Deathgasm, and in her return for the upcoming sequel coming out probably early next year, Deathgasm 2. If you're new to it, the Deathgasm follows a teenage heavy metal band that accidentally summons an ancient evil entity, equal parts blast beats and blood spray. So here is my interview with Kimberly Crossman. So on this podcast, I am releasing this episode on both of my podcasts, so the Metal Pit Podcast and the Someone's in My Fruit Cellar Podcast. Since we're covering heavy metal and horror with our guest today, because this is a different format than usual, as we're doing an interview today with Kimberly Crossman, who is one of the stars of the movie Deathgasm and the coming soon Deathgasm 2. Hi, Kimberly, and how are you today?
I am so good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here with you to talk all things
thank you
beautiful and Deathgasm.
And as I can tell from following you on Instagram, you're very pregnant.
I am very pregnant. So I had my baby shower this morning. So this is great timing. I feel I've been pumped up. I'm a confident as, so it's good. It's good timing.
And it's summer in New Zealand, is it? Or almost summer, is it?
You know what? Today, it does feel like summer. It has been pretty bloody cold, but yeah, it is summer here in New Zealand. It's just about to be summer. We're the opposite. You guys have got storms and we've got sunshine. Yeah. It's flipping. And
you celebrate Halloween there, I take it?
I mean, like, I'm a big pusher of Halloween, but... Mm-hmm. I think America does holidays so well. America, nothing compares, everything pales in comparison to America doing holidays. So. Okay.
And I'm in Canada, by the way, but yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Whereabouts in Canada are you?
I'm in Ontario, Canada, so a couple hours from Toronto.
So, I've been to Ontario.
Yes. I'm just going to ask you, I got a bunch of questions ready. Lonnie from my horror podcast is supposed to be here, but she is in America, in Maine, and they have a storm, so she can't make it. So I'm taking over for the whole thing here, as we don't usually do interviews, but I've done a few interviews on the Metal Pit podcast.
So you got this. We're strap in, guys. We are in for a treat.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Deathgasm later, but I'll start out with some of your other stuff.
Sure.
Now, getting ready to interview you, I tried to watch some of the other things you've done. Sometimes mm-hmm. It's hard to find some of the stuff because it's in New Zealand and maybe harder to find. But one was a TV show I watched was an episode called My Life is Murder with Lucy Lawless, aka Xena, the Warrior Princess. So I watched that one. And so what was it like working with Xena?
Oh my gosh. I'm a huge fan of hers. So what was it like? I was really nervous. It's not like meeting your heroes and like having a conversation with them. You actually have to show your talent. Like I had to do scenes with her. And so, like, you're, and also my character, can I swear on this podcast or no?
Yes, you can swear. I was going to tell you that.
My character's a bit of a bitch to her. And so it's like doubly as hard when you want someone to like you, but you're acting in a way that's like confronting. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes, it was amazing though. What a treat, what a delight, like what a gift to be able to be on set and work with people like her. So yeah, it was a dream. It's such a good show too, if you haven't seen it. It's
Yeah, well, I think that's the only episode I've watched so far, but I should
yeah,
check it
it's
out
good.
more.
It
It's
is very good.
like she's a police or she's a crime, she's a whatever, but she's in the, I don't know if she's in the police, but yeah, it's a crime show, right? Yes.
It's like a more fun CSI.
Yes. And I remember you wore a killer dress in that show. That was
Did,
one thing.
yeah, and I had to learn how to salsa dance.
Oh, did
Lots of
you?
things to look forward to in it.
Yeah, so everybody else should check that out too. Let's see another movie. I watched the movie The Other Mother, where, speaking of it, you're also a bitch
I got a bit of a through line here. I know I play quite like murdery characters quite a
one.
lot, which is quite fun because I have this like tiny blonde sweet demeanor sort of thing, and I play crazy well. The Other Mother, yep.
Yeah, I like that one though.
Fun.
It's a good one. And let's see, I watched The 60-Yard Line, but unfortunately, I fell asleep. I didn't fall asleep because it was a bad movie. I work nights, so sometimes I fall asleep. But I know that was about
That's
your
a fun
Packer
one.
fan and your husband or husband to be turned
Yes.
your house into a Green Bay Packer stadium kind of thing.
And you know what? Like filming that, we got to film that in Green Bay. I had never been to an American football game before. And on our first day, we got to go tailgate and it was like the Thanksgiving game. So I just absolutely just fell in love. We don't have that kind of culture of tailgating and stuff here in New Zealand. We just don't have the population or fandom like that. So the people of Green Bay just welcomed us. We filmed in two, the movie is set over a calendar year. So we had to go and film the movie sort of twice, once to get the summer because it looks so vastly different in the winter. But my God, what a whole world that I just got tapped into. Like, oh my goodness. We got to meet Aaron Rodgers. We got to like, yeah, be on the field, go like underground to all the cool underground stuff at Lambeau Field. It was money can't buy experience. People would like cut off a limb to do the things we got to do. It was pretty cool.
Yes, it was cool. The parts I seen. Sorry again. I'll have to watch the rest of it.
That's all right.
But I
You got
see.
time?
And another movie I saw that you were in was A Beginner's Guide to Snuff, but I was disappointed you're only in it for like 15 seconds.
I know I am only in it for. You should have told me. I should have gone watch this much of this one. That's so funny. That's so
Because
funny.
I actually was skipping to try to find you, so I skipped over some,
Oh,
and then I
blink
thought
and
I
you'll
didn't
miss
even
it.
see
Yeah,
her,
totally.
so I had to rewind back or whatever, click
Oh,
back, go,
it's a
oh,
fun
there
movie to
she
watch
is.
anyway. Yeah.
You sh
Oh,
they
there
should have
she
hired
was.
you. They should have hired you for the role
Thanks.
inside the movie in the movie or whatever. But
Thanks,
anyway.
Blake. I agree. No, not at all. No, she did an amazing job.
Now you've done a lot of mo movies and like guest stars and TV shows besides Deathgasm, because we'll say for our horror heavy metal fans that's your favorite part to play. But what was
Yeah.
your other favorite role to play? Do you have one that stands out, maybe?
Yeah, a couple. I recently got to work on a show. It's a New Zealand show, but I'm sure it will go far and wide, called Educators. Now, why I'm picking that one and another show as well called Golden Boy is because we had so much freedom, and a show called Hashtaggers, which is an American show. I really love improvising. I've only worked on a couple of shows where you're given that amount of freedom, and it's so, like, it's so scary and fun. You know what I mean? Like, you better fucking be funny. You know, it's like there's so much pressure on it and it's fantastic at the same time. And you just really like can't plan. So there's a huge part of me is like really type A overachiever who tries to like organize everything in my life. So there's some freedom in like being able to play in the complete opposite of that and having to really trust and rely on your talent, which is really cool. So I would probably say Those ones have been my favorite. And then coming up, I'm actually stepping into a similar situation, but I also on a project that I get to executive produce, which is so cool because I don't really do a lot of roles on the other side of things. And this was a crowdfunded project called The Feelings Club, and it's going to be a social series. So yeah, I feel excited that I'm sort of for the first time after doing this for 18 years, I've actually avoided it because I just love the acting part of things so much. I'm like, nah, I just want to show up and perform. But I'm really excited about this to kind of straddle both sides of it. Yeah.
That's cool. And how did you get into acting or interested in acting? I know you started cheerleading and stuff.
How do you think, Blake? It's because I'm an absolute show off and I love attention. How does anyone get into acting? My mum's a ballet teacher and I just loved concerts. I love performing. I have depression and anxiety, and so it's like this idea of being really present and in the moment is not something that I feel often. However, when I'm acting, for some reason, I am really all the noise is quiet and I'm just there. So I've always loved it for that reason. It's felt like when you find your thing that makes you feel like you're in a state of flow, or you find your thing that you're obsessed with or you're a super fan of, something about it just nourishes you in a way, like for you probably, whether it's metal or horror, you know. So for me, it's that performing where it feels like you're on a knife's edge of, I don't know, just this beautiful state of flow. So I kind of got into it because I just wanted to find that outlet. I ended up getting cast in a soap opera when I was young and did that for about 7 years. So I was very lucky that I was able to see acting as a really viable career early on. Being from New Zealand, it's not as common. I think in America, it's obviously a huge part of what they do. So I didn't really know that was an option to me until it presented itself. And then I knew immediately that I didn't want to do anything else. I was like, oh yeah, I've had the hit. I've had a taste of it. Can't go back. So I've just doubled down really, and here we are.
Now you
It's not
mentioned
the easiest
improv.
career, but it's you know, but nothing is, you know, nothing's easy. So you may as well love it.
That's right. Now you mentioned improv. I think I read that you're in the Groundlings, were you?
I was,
Where
yeah. So not in
where?
main company or anything. I was just in their school. So that's like one of the
Okay.
reasons I moved to LA. I'm a huge Will Ferrell fan. I knew Will Ferrell went to Groundlings. I was like, well, that's the pathway of what you do. So yeah. And it really helped me kind of trust myself and be more playful when it came to acting. So Groundlings.
Okay, now you also have a podcast called Pretty Depressed. Now, let's tell us about that and who would enjoy your podcast or who would find it helpful.
Great question. Yeah. So I was diagnosed with severe depression in 2019. It was a real wake up call for me. I had only ever seen depression kind of depicted in the movies as the can't get out of bed, can't get off the couch, which is totally valid in that some people's depression. My depression presents as high functioning depression. So basically, that's like, just keep moving. Don't stop. Don't feel your feelings. Like avoidance, avoidance, avoidance until it catches up with you, which it did. There was I think it was the seventh pilot that I shot that I was like, this is 100% going to season. Like it's a done deal. It turned out it was a no. The floor opened up and ate me up, and I just couldn't. It was basically the straw that broke the camel's back. And then it just kind of everything that I hadn't dealt with, because I had never done any of the work or any of that mental health work. I didn't even know any verbiage around it. And so that's kind of set me on a bit of a path of looking like, how can I navigate a career and a lifestyle that has so many moving factors and try to keep myself consistent? Because I was just going up with the ups, down with the downs, like as we all do to a degree, but I just can't let something have that much control over me, if that makes sense. So I needed to figure out how to walk that line. I never intended on releasing the podcast. I actually was just using it so that I could talk to famous people who seemed to be seemingly coping better. And it became very apparent early on that the types of conversations that I was then privy to having, remember, this is 2019, this is before everybody had a podcast. The types of conversations I was having were so helpful to me that I felt a sense of responsibility that I then had to share them. And so I've been doing the podcast ever since. So now I talk to experts, I talk to people who do a lot of different alternative therapies, different peoples in different walks of life sharing their journey, but predominantly it's a you should be able to walk away from every podcast you listen to with a bunch of tokens for your back pocket to help you and your life pivot out. They're not just sob stories. I don't really care about that. Everyone's got pain and trauma, big whoop. It's like, how do you, or how are some ways you could walk through that to get to the other side?
Yes, and I listened to a few episodes, and I did
Oh,
find
you
it.
did good. There's some good, juicy ones
Your
in there
most
too.
recent one.
People love
You've
sharing.
been in therapy 6 years, I think you said, was it something
Yeah.
like that?
Are
Because
you in
I
therapy?
have dealt with depression before too. Now I did go to therapy, but it didn't work for me. Now I only went to one person, and everybody's
Yeah.
different, and every therapist is different. But I know some people love
Totally.
therapy, and some people
And
don't.
also there's different types of therapy too. It doesn't just have to be talk therapy. That's not really for
Yes.
everybody. So like that's what's cool about it too, is like I try a bunch of different shit and I'm like, this is rad. That's good.
So everybody should check out your podcast, and I'll probably have links for everything that we talk about here.
Thank you.
Okay, and now you used to, I d just found this
Love
from
it. Get
searching on
after it.
YouTube, found your channel where you've done interviews with other celebrities like Dwayne The Rock Johnson and
Yeah.
Jack Black, Bette Midler, J-Lo, Owen Wilson. Is there any interview you've done that meant the most to you? Like that was the most special to you to talk to them or
That
anything?
meant the most to me. I've a few times I've had the luxury of interviewing like with Will Ferrell and Tina Fey and stuff. So those are always special just because the other people I would love to be my peers. Do you know what? Like I would love to work with them. So of course they're special in that sense. I would say, and I'm going to totally blank on his name right now. The one that was so, most interesting to me was now, okay, Breaking Bad. He played Jesse. Why am I blanking on his name? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I know the
Did
show,
you
but
watch Breaking Bad?
I never really watched it. I know what it is,
Hold
but I
on.
just
I'm
never
going to have to, give
That's
me
okay. You can
Breaking
rewatch
Bad cast. I'm like, his name's Aaron Paul. He played the character of Jesse Pinkman on the show. Now, I didn't watch Breaking Bad, so I didn't know this actor. I was interviewing him for a show called Westworld. He is, without a doubt, the most famous person in the sense of like, you know how people just have that X factor? I don't know what it is about him, but whatever magic he has inside him, everyone, before he even walked in a room, everyone kind of like it was like they could feel he was coming in the room. I don't know if you've ever been around a really famous person, your body does something like you can feel that there's someone around, like because you everyone's sort of feeling different. It's like the strangest thing. I didn't know his show, so I didn't know him very well. And I was like, wow, like he has whatever that is that you can't buy and you can't fake. Like he permeates that to a crazy level. It's amazing. So, and so kind, so generous. It was just like, it felt like you're in the presence of royalty or so. Like it was like, yeah, it was pretty cool. So that was probably one of the more interesting ones because I wasn't expecting to be sort of starstruck and I was in complete awe. It was amazing. You can watch the interview. I say barely anything and I'm just giggling the whole time. I'm like, it's like,
That's so cool. Now let's see. Now, one of Lonnie's questions that she wanted me to ask, or that she was going to ask, was as of July 2025, you announced on your website that you joined a mental health foundation. What inspired you? Maybe you've already kind of talked about this a little, but to become an ambassador for the WA Mental Health Research Foundation. Hopefully I'm saying that right.
It's called pho, but that's okay. You did very well because it's a Kiwi word, so you did great.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a really easy question to answer because there's a lot of like awareness, and I'm part of that community or like awareness around mental health and things. What they do at their foundation is they fund research into mental health, like actual scientific research, especially in New Zealand. We have a really high suicide rate here. So part of becoming an ambassador is actually putting funds into, rather than just being the ambulance at the bottom of the hill that's helping medicate, therapy, talk therapy, all those kind of things. This is actually like going to the core of trying to find out some of that research and some of those behaviors or some of those things that we can adapt and adjust to avoid, prevent, help people getting to that place in the first place. So it's for the research, the scientific research. So I was like, I feel like that's pretty cool,
And relatable.
especially around women's mental health, especially around women's health in general, when it comes to things like fertility and infertility, those kind of things that haven't been very historically researched. So, yeah, it makes sense to put some energy towards that.
And you're also an ambassador for organizations like World Vision and the SPCA, too.
Yes, because I love animals, and that's always been a passion of mine. And World Vision does amazing, amazing work with child sponsorship, especially for gender inequality for young girls. So a lot of times girls get overlooked, especially when it comes to education and healthcare. So I do a lot of work in that space to help try and break the cycle.
Yes, and that's in my cat is sitting right beside me as I'm talking to you.
Oh,
She's on the floor though.
what is her name?
Zeus. It's a female though. It's a calico cat.
How
She's like 12
beautiful.
years old.
Right.
We were
I
just at the
love
vet
that.
the other day. I think she's getting back to normal now. She doesn't
Sending
have
my love to Zeus. Pets are so important. They're so consistent in a world full of inconsistencies and inconsistent people. Pets are so consistent,
Yes.
especially with their love. You know, even if they're crazy or bitchy or whatever it is, at least they're consistent. So
Yes.
love it.
Okay, now let's get into horror and heavy metal, I guess, here.
I should have dressed up for this. Sorry.
First, we're going to talk about Deathgasm, which was in 2015. And you play Medina, am I saying that right?
Yeah, you got
I just watched the movie a few weeks ago
it.
again to refresh my memory.
Good for
What
you.
attracted you to the role, and how much did you know about the heavy metal culture going into it?
Oh my
If
gosh,
you can
such a good
remember, I
question.
know this
So,
was 10 years ago.
yeah, what attracted me to the, I mean, look, anytime, let's call it what it is. Any audition, I'm like, I can do that. I want to do that. So I'm not quite at that level of my career where I'm like, let me pick and choose what I do. I had to audition for the role. I was really excited about it. It ended up being my first movie that I ever did. What did I know about the heavy metal community? Nothing other than preconceived ideas that it was scary people and scary clothing, and everything about it felt like it was trying to push me away rather than welcome me in. It felt angry. It felt scary. All of which, and I love these moments in life, were completely untrue. What I found was a community that was incredibly welcoming, incredibly generous, incredibly supportive. That's testament to the fact we even got to do a second one because the community was able to crowdfund. And I felt so other because I was like, I'm girly pop princess type bubblegum thing. I just thought I would be hated. And it was so cool to have these preconceived ideas turned on their head and be like, these are amazing people who have such an amazing sense of community. They're so generous, they're so welcoming, and they have ways to like express themselves, which is so creative and so progressive. And everything was just this like outward expression of love, which contradicted what I was visually comparing it to, if that makes sense. And so it was like really cool. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, they're the most stable, people that I know in the metal community because they like have a bit of an outlet for feeling, and it's good and it's raw and it's real and it's I love my journey with this because I was so worried because I wasn't a built-in fan already. I was like, ugh, this is gonna feel like a little icky to them, but the same thing with my character. My character didn't know anything about it and then kind of finds her way through love into it and is like, actually, this is fucking awesome. And I feel that way, you know? And I've had the blessing now of doing two of the films to meet people from this community and then meet people like Matt Heafy from Trivium. And like, I've just never met people who are more open and vulnerable and honest. And so I think it's like I wish everyone to have that experience because it takes the thing that we all suck at, which is judging a book by its cover and putting our preconceived ideas and not digging a little deeper. And if you dig a little deeper to the metal community, it's so magical. Like, but then it also feels like it's a bit of a secret. So I'm like, well, it's fucking cool. I mean, I don't know. Do you feel similarly, or did you always have an attraction to it?
I am almost 60. And it was, and of course, so I grew up when it was just starting, really.
Oh,
And I
wow.
listened to music before I listened to heavy metal. So I would listen to the radio, obviously, your
Yeah,
rock
yeah, yeah.
songs, whatever. Queen and Styx were on the radio, and I liked that more than I would say the pop ballads or whatever you want to
Sure.
call it. And then when I was 16, I heard Iron Maiden first, and that's when I was converted then. So I just went and bought anything heavy metal and stuff. And I'm shy, like, even though I'm doing the podcast, of course, but I'm a shy person. I know there's a lot of heavy metal people who are like that. Then there's the people that are the partier heavy metal people too. But
Sure.
yes, I totally go with everything you're saying. It does make sense. And I know
Yeah.
people, some people would be like, oh, she doesn't like heavy metal, but I'm glad people realize that you're an actress, but you did a great job acting like you liked heavy metal or you
Well,
like it now.
no, I
But
do like it now. Like that was it, but it wasn't something that touched my life before that. You know, like I didn't have that Iron Maiden epiphany moment. What attracted me was like meeting the people and then being like, oh, I get it. Like, I got it. Yeah.
Well, I
So,
like the scene in the movie where you put the headphones on and you
yeah.
supposedly listen to it for the first time and you have a great expression on your face. There's probably nothing planned, right? You're probably just acting. There's probably nothing. But that
No,
was a
but that
great
was it. I
experience.
was actually listening to music, and I think that's it. It's like music can transcend you, and if you have a bit more context around it, maybe you're more willing to go with it, right? Rather than just listening to something being like, it's not for me. Yeah. Very cool.
Now, were you a horror fan? Now, I know you said you want to get any part you can, but were
Yeah,
you a horror fan
totally.
before you did this?
Yeah, so I'm a horror. I said this in an interview, my husband eye rolled with me. I got into horror also in an interesting way through Buffy, which I know is like the most watered down horror there ever was. But like, again, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Buffy, Scream, like that's when I was exposed to that. And I understand there are very vanilla ways to get in, but it's however you find your entry point. I think those movies, like those coming of age kind of stories, and then having these strong female characters that are being badass, that is what kind of shoehorned me into horror and loving like female-led, like Samara Weaving is a good friend of mine, and like she's led a bunch of horrors. And I'm like, oh my God. And horror movies are the most fun to make because usually they're lower budget, they're a little more scrappy, you get to get covered in blood, you get to do stunts. Like, it's definitely one of those things that I enjoy consuming them, but I love making them. Does that make sense? And there's weird props and there's like half a leg lying around. It's all like the magic of cinema is like showing best in horror, especially low budget horrors that have to do things practically. So yeah, it's cool.
And you kind of answered one of my questions here, but
Oh.
I was going to say, did you enjoy being covered in blood and kicking ass?
I loved it. I loved it because then also I look like this in my life. Like, yes, cover me in blood where I feel like I feel different. I feel like badass. And it looks so fucking cool too. Like, and it's all sugary and it's just fun. It's delightful. I love it.
Let's see. There was something she asked. Let's see. Oh, is there? Let's see. I guess we'll talk about the first one still, but was there a memorable moment from the first one that stands out maybe above? I don't know.
I mean, it was my first cigarette. The end of the film was my first cigarette, even though it was a fake cigarette. It was like a herbal cigarette or something. That stood out to me because at the time I was also fronting like an anti-smoking campaign or smoke-free New Zealand. So I remember like I was quite young and I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so naughty. Like, it was such a fun, like I'd never even tried one before. And I didn't want to tell the director I hadn't smoked because I was like, oh my God, I'm so not cool. It's like trying to bum puff the cigarette, but also make it look really cool. It resulted in me having to tell them that I didn't know how to do it and someone had to teach me. So that was funny.
Well, you look cool doing
Thank
everything
you.
in that movie.
Thank you. I
Just
get to do a
throw
lot more of fake smoking in the second movie, and I think I got it down. I
a
got better at it. I've learned. Yeah.
Well, I've never smoked, so I guess I've never looked cool, but
But that's it. It's like if you've never done it before, you're like, you look so like a poser. But people who smoke are so casual about it. So it's really like, it's a hard acting exercise. It would be like, I can't even think of a comparison. But yeah, if you've never done something before and you're supposed to be not only an expert, but you've just been doing it for years,
Yeah.
you got to figure it out.
I used to have those candies, those Popeye candy cigarettes. I don't know if they would have had them in
Yeah,
this.
we had it. We had that called Spaceman candies here, but yeah, same thing. Yeah. So silly.
Okay. And let's see. I saw a cute video on your YouTube channel, which was your husband changing into a metalhead to pick you up at the airport. Now, did you know he was going to do that? Like, were you.
I had no idea. And I kind of, if you've seen from the video, I'm like, I didn't quite know how to get a read on it either. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? How sweet.
Yeah, it was
He's
kind of funny,
so
and
great. He's so funny.
yes, that was a good one.
He's great.
Now, oh shoot, me and Lonnie are gonna do our next episode because we do on the horror movie podcast. We talk about a classic horror movie, and then
Right.
we put it into 10 sections and pick a song for each section. Like we're picking our own
Oh,
soundtrack, and of course,
cool.
usually heavy metal, obviously. Because he's
Yeah.
more into death metal than I am, and I'm just into, since I'm older, I'm into the classic metal. So yeah, our
Okay.
next episode is on Deathgasm, so you'll have to listen to it to see us
Of
start talking about
course.
how good you were in it and stuff.
Thank you.
I think there was something else I was going to ask about that, but I'll come back to it if I remember. We're going to move on to Deathgasm 2 a little bit. Now, we don't want to, of course, give away any spoilers or anything. Do you
Sure.
know when it's being released yet? Do you know?
Well, I know we've done a few festivals. We've done LA, we've done Austin, it premieres in New Zealand at the end of this week. So I think after all the festival runs, then hopefully it'll be distributed. So I would say it'll be early next year.
Okay.
It's so good though. Oh, it's so good. I
Okay,
love it.
well, without giving any spoilers, what can you tell us about it?
What can I tell you? It's very funny.
Saw the trailer and they bring
Yeah, it
Zach back
also
to
has the,
life or
yeah, it,
something.
yep, all of the original cast are back in a really creative way. It's very entertaining. There are some amazing camera work in this, and there are some amazing, gore, like just gore. I don't even know how they achieved some of the shit that, honestly, I'm like, still can't get my head around it. Sometimes when I shut my eyes, I can see an imprint of certain scenes that I don't need to see. So I think it really like it satisfies the appetite that people needed 10 years later. Do you know what I mean? You've got all your original characters, they've progressed in some ways, regressed in others. There's a beautiful bromance, and that love story, of friendship is so important throughout. The music is fantastic. Matt Heafy did a great job with all the soundtrack stuff. There's also amazing appearances by some pretty heavy hitters in the community too. And there's a few new characters that I think people will loathe in the best way possible. So that's what I can say.
Now you mentioned film festivals that it's played at some, and I noticed that too. So what's it like being a part of the ones that you can attend yourself? Like, how much
I've
fun?
been to two. I did Austin and LA, and it was so cool because I hadn't seen the movie before. I got to see it for the first time with an audience, right? And gosh, it's like I don't go to the movies a lot anymore, to be honest. I kind of watch at home. So, like, even just having that cinema experience and hearing people laugh, hearing people gasp, hearing people jump, you know, like all together was super cool. And there's a lot of pride to it. You know, this was like a little Kiwi movie that we made a decade ago. And we're back because people like yourself wanted it and wanted more. And so, this, you know, I don't take that lightly that what we do as a career, we need support, we need fandom. Otherwise, we can't do what we get to do for fun. So, I don't, it isn't lost on me that we got the opportunity to do this because of the generosity of so much of the heavy metal and horror community.
Yes, because you mentioned that it was crowdfunded, and I did, there was all kinds of bonuses for how much money you could donate, and that helped make the movie. So
Yeah,
that was
totally.
kind of cool, especially for the fans, that everybody that was able to help out.
100%. They're part of it. Yeah. Some fans came to set just to get murdered. That was what they paid for, which was great.
I couldn't afford to be murdered, so I
That's okay. Well, you're here. You're supporting in a different way.
let's see. And was it much different doing, it's been 10 years, but was it much different doing this one than the first one? Like, was it
I mean, it
easier
was
because you knew
different.
the people, most of the people?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's different because it's different and it's 10 years on, but then there's also like something beautiful about that. It wasn't necessarily better or worse. It was different because we were in Regina in Canada. We were up in Saskatchewan. I can never say that.
Saskatchewan, yes.
Saskatchewan, thank you. Yeah. I'm like combining it with sriracha sauce. I'm like, well, how do I say this? Saskatchewan, yeah.
That's what
And
they do.
you know, but then to be back with the team, there's already that level of like comfortability and family about it too. So it was beautiful. It was, yeah, it's nice to revisit that too and to know that people want it. Like, that's part of the mystery about making films. You're like, fuck, I hope someone sees it. Like, to already know that you're doing it because people want to see it is very different.
Well, as you probably figured out, most heavy metal fans also like horror movies usually.
Yes, there's a great crossover
So
there. Yes.
if they combine it into a movie, then you're gonna go see it or whatever, at least to see if it's any good or not. And it's funny when you mentioned about the first one when you didn't know about heavy metal people much or whatever, and they're all you thought was they're scary and blah blah blah. But if you weren't in it and you would have watched Deathgasm yourself, you would still think the same thing. Well, they're just scary. Even though you
Well,
do
yes
get the
and
friendship
no.
thing in there, but
Yeah. I think too, there's like the comedy element that I didn't really know was also part of like people who like heavy metal and who like horror also like love a laugh, you know, like
yes.
also like that is also part of it. So yeah, I wouldn't have known that before Deathgasm.
I would have had great questions if you were involved in the part where they use the sex toys to kill the monsters there,
I
but
cannot wait for you to see the second movie. The fact that I'm guessing you haven't because you would have asked me specifically about something on this. You permission to text me or email me as soon as you watch it because you're gonna die. You might die of joy.
Okay. I look forward to it even more now then, since you said
Yeah.
let's see. Oh, I never asked you about your baby. Do you know what it is, or do you not want to tell anybody, or you don't
No,
know?
I don't know.
You
We
don't
don't. We
know.
decided it's actually very common in New Zealand to not find out.
Oh, is it?
Whereas I feel like in America, I don't know what it's like in Canada, but in America, most people find out as soon as they can.
Yes, well,
We really
actually,
that.
yeah, I have two grandchildren that we had overnight last night, so I didn't get much sleep last night. And so, yeah, they one is only 14 months old, and then the girl is 2.5 years old or whatever. But yeah, they had a baby reveal thing. I guess it's easier
Mm-hmm.
so they people buy them the gifts that they really need with the
Yeah,
colors.
sure. But yeah, we don't really do that here, which is quite funny. People are like, what? That's a
So yeah,
mystery.
so I didn't know. So I was hoping you were going to say it on this podcast. You're going to
I'm
announce.
sorry, I genuinely don't know, but as soon as it's born, we'll all know together.
I voted on your poll you put the other day. I
Yeah,
say
what did you
I
think?
said boy.
Okay, that's most people are saying that. Most people think that. I had my baby shower today and we had little cards and people wrote in it. And yeah, most people, 90% are voting boy.
Are they?
You're with the majority on that one.
Okay, now tell us, everybody, we're almost done here. So, how can people find you if they don't already follow you?
Oh my gosh, I would love to have you. Instagram is the platform I use the most. I fucking love it. Like, I know the internet can be a deep, dark, horrible place, but it also doesn't have to be. It can also be an absolute delight. So I'm very lucky. I really enjoy Instagram. That's my most fun place to hang out and be and communicate. So yeah, at Kim Crossman is probably the easiest way to find me there.
And you have a website too, right?
I do. I have a website, which is kimberlycrossman.com. I have YouTube. I have them all. It's just that that's where I am most of the time is Instagram.
Yes. And that's where I contacted you, and you were kind
Exactly.
enough
See,
to
and I
respond to my
responded because
message.
that's where I am.
Some people
Yes.
don't respond, or some people
Nope.
don't follow through. So it's been great talking to you.
Yeah,
And I
thank
can't
you.
wait to see Deathgasm 2 now to see what you do in it, because I think you're doing something special that I'm going to
Well,
love, probably.
let's do another one of these after it's out, after you've seen it. We'll do part two.
We would love to do another one with you after this is
Yeah,
out. So next
beautiful. I
year,
would
maybe
love
we'll
that.
do that. Okay. Thank you, Kimberly. Good luck with the baby. I'm sure I'll message you on Instagram there.
That
And
sounds good.
good
Thank you,
luck with
guys.
everything else you do, too. So thanks, Kimberly. Bye.
Awesome. See you guys. Bye. Bye, Blake.
You were listening to Someone's in My Fruit Cellar podcast. Subscribe and rate our podcast wherever you listen to our podcast. Podcast edited by Blake. Visit our socials. Till next time.